Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I think for me, happiness is so simple, and it is literally just the tiniest little moments. And it is in nature, and it's just being present. We can't be present constantly, but it's when you're present just for the briefest fleeting moment, that's when you like are connected to the poetry of life. And I'm really into the concept of flow, and that I believe that when you have a really, when you slow everything down and you get really, really simple and you find your joy and happiness in the first sip of coffee, or just noticing the warmth of the sun on your skin just for the briefest moment, then it makes everything so much sweeter and the rest of the day just flows a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So I'm not looking for big things. I'm looking for something very simple and small.
Hi, and welcome to this week's Balance podcast. That was Kat Pyther, founder of Yogi Bear. Kat's definitely found a way to connect to the poetry of life through her brand. She expresses herself. She says herself that when you start a brand, you bring a little piece of you and you give it away. In fact, she says she's giving away the whole picnic basket. Kat's brand and product, the Yogi Bear, is quite simple. She's created beautiful accessories for yoga classes using sustainable materials, and it all comes from her passionate place. So she's much more than just a person who creates yoga mats. She is actually a former teacher of yoga, and her own backstory, like a lot of people who are driven, comes from a painful place. She at 17 had addiction problems, but she's flipped it all around and brought herself into a positive space. So when we talk, which is in August 2021, when we're just out there in the world again, Kat's flown off to America to meet people, to connect. It's all part of her desire to be authentic and honest and connect with people. She's following actually her father's footsteps, and she's gone for 90 days on her own to just go and tell people and spread the word about Yogi Bear, which I think is a wonderful thing to do. Really hope you enjoy listening to our conversation today. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Balance podcast. I'm delighted today to be speaking to Kat from Yogi Bear. Now, Kat's in America at the moment. I'm in Brighton, so we've managed to work out a really good time to chat. She's going to tell us what she's doing in the States when we get talking. So, Kat, how are you today?
I'm good. I mean, you say you're just in Brighton, but I think Brighton's like, it's pretty much the same thing, just got a tiny bit more sunshine here. And
yeah, the weather here at the moment in August is horrendous. It's like the only thing I was worried about, one of the noise things, is the wind.
I mean, I do feel though, like saying that, that wasn't even much of a joke. I feel like Venice Beach, where I'm staying at the minute, is really similar to Brighton in the sense it's a really artistic, creative community. Yeah. And and really inspired from lots of different touch points. And I guess that is why I chose this area to sort of implant Yogi Bear and start making some magic across the pond. Because I don't know if many people know this, but Be Here Now was a book that changed my life by Ram Dass. It just was the most phenomenal book I ever read. And he actually came to sort of the California coastline after he'd wrote the book, and he'd spent time in India to spread the message of Be Here Now, meditation, yoga and presence and gratitude and all that great stuff. And the reason he picked this area of the USA is because of the free-spirited, open-mindedness and the culture that really aligned with what he was trying to do. And then, you know, all throughout time, there's been people drawn to this coastline. one of the big books that you read on your yoga teacher training is called Autobiography of a Yogi by Yogananda. And so the first place that I hit up, and I'm very lucky that I've got friends there, and it's also a very good surf spot, is called Swami's. And Swami's is where his self-realization center and meditation garden was built. So he's a prominent figure, a sort of a prominent figure in yoga land. So he started his sort of meditation centers here. And then, of course, like another big influence for me and Yogi Bear is music and music culture. And I'm a bit of a deadhead. So if you don't know what that means, it's the band The Grateful Dead, big just transformative brand. And a lot of deadheads tend to be drawn towards yoga and meditation just because that power of the music was quite transcendental and just playful and curious and just expansive. A lot of the deadheads, which basically if you're a fan of the Grateful Dead, that's what you nickname yourself, would travel around and follow the band around California, and they'd all do big outdoor yoga meditation sessions. So it seemed like the perfect spot to bring Yogi Bear, because I feel like Yogi Bear is inspired by all the things that I love, and it doesn't just stick in its little yoga land box. It draws from every single aspect and nuance of life, from art, creativity, music, all different types of culture. And I feel really like proud of having a brand that it does feel like, when I'm sure a lot of people you've had on this podcast will agree as well, that when you start a brand, it's a little piece of you that you're giving away. And so I decided to give like a whole picnic basket of me away, because it really is like a mishmash of everything that I love. And I hope that that translates into everyone finding something they can relate to in the brand, and that you don't have to be like a super duper upside down pretzel turning 4 a.m. meditating peaceful person to fit into yoga land. Because I didn't fit in when I first found yoga, and that's kind of sort of how
you're saying it. I mean, I love the fact that I haven't even asked a question, and you've given me so much.
I'm just excited to be here in America. I'm just going off.
No, it's absolutely brilliant, because you said so much, and things were popping into my head when you were talking. I love the sort of California as the mecca for yogis.
in a different way, right? People think it's a bit more Goop and Gwyneth Paltrow vibe and green juice swinging. And I've actually come at it from probably a different perspective.
Yeah, but I like it. It's an amazing place where you are. I've been there, and I know what you mean about the connection to Brighton's like a tiny version of it. And and I understand why you've gone there. It's really interesting. I was going to ask you one of the first questions, but we're not going to stick to rigid questions. I think
I'm not very good at rules.
I love it though. It's I sort of wanted to know, how would you describe yourself and what you do? But you've already done that to a certain extent. And I like the fact that you've got a business, but you've got this, you know, you've got a individuality. Your brand isn't, you know, you're part of a group of people who redefine what people perceive businesses to be like. So the question is kind of, how would you describe yourself and what you do? If you were the elevator pitch of you.
I mean, the only way to describe it is, and it's something that yoga has very much taught me, is I'm just myself. I'm not trying to be, I'm just an imprint and a collection of every good memory, every good person, the little marks that they've left on me. I actually recently got a little tattoo, and it's tiny little cross stitches, like as if you were making a piece of like sewing. And what they symbolize is there's a cross stitch and then a gap and then another cross stitch. And they're supposed to mean that the first stitch is when you land on the planet, and the last stitch is when you leave the planet, and all that matters is what you stitch in between. Because I see life as like a tapestry, and everyone that I meet makes a mark on me and everything that I do. And so that's why I just like to surround myself with good people and good experiences. And I think that does ripple through into the brand. I think on my personal Instagram, I'd say that I'm a little bit punk and a little bit patchouli. I think we live in a world where everyone's like a little bit lost. So everyone tries to like align themselves to, I'm a vegan and that says everything about me, or I'm a yogi and that says everything about me. But we're so much more than the labels we put on ourselves, or sadly what other people put on us. And I think that I've never been very good at labels. I see them a bit like sticky weed, and I'm like, nope, you're not going to stick that to me. And I think that we do have that power to, when you get comfortable with who you are and what you like, you're not ashamed or you don't feel like you have to live up to any expectations. So you can like what you like. And yeah, so I really hope that that does come across in Yogi Bear. So a big mashup of horror movies, skateboarding, surfboarding, to peace and nature and a green smoothie and flossing from time to time.
And I mean, I guess, but one of the things you do is you sell yoga mats, you sell accessories. I mean, I know there's more to the brand than that, but that is, the doing bit is pretty much, you know, practical, useful, lovely accessories that you can use in yoga.
Yeah. I think with that, so it's been amazing. I was always that kid that my mum couldn't bring me to a shop without breaking something because I had to touch everything. So I've always had like a little soft spot for materials, and I get really, I'm just so grateful to be doing this in the age that we are, where there is this newfound respect for sustainable materials. Like, you know, there's people growing mushroom materials and you can make leather out of pineapples, and it's all so bonkers. And I absolutely love it, living in sort of a world where, because we've all been there, right? Like in a yoga class where you can't get into the class because the mat's bunching up and it's rolling up and your hands are slipping, and you kind of like touch the mat and it's squelched with someone else's sweat from the class before, and you're like, oh. And then so it's, the whole point is I like to create products that support you and do feel like your best friend. But with the sort of the key product, which is our pause mat, it's playful and it's fun in design, but it's actually designed to be invisible in class. So it doesn't bunch up, it stays still. It's so grippy that you actually can lose yourself in your practice and you don't even think that the mat's there. So it's almost like you're kind of doing the opposite. You're trying to create products that people don't even think about when they're using them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
But when it comes to sustainability, that is something I'm really, really passionate about. But we, you know, we're a small brand, and I think my approach to it is honesty. We have a sustainability diary on the website, which is just, we launched it and it was quite a scary thing to do because there's a lot of greenwashing and a lot of, sadly, we live in this cancel culture, which is a bit bonkers in itself, and everyone's always looking for someone to trip up. And I think a lot of the time, like, people with greenwashing or trying to be perfect and trying so hard, you actually end up creating an impossible illusion that when any new brand enters the market, they think, oh my gosh, well, they're saying that, and I know inside that I'm not 100% there, but I better say it too. Or they don't know, or then there's not even that thought process, and they just literally just be like, well, they're doing the same thing as me, so I'll just copy and paste, and that's cool. And then you create sort of like this really false and a really far gap from the reality to the... And it doesn't, it's not even in a, not in a bad or a nasty way. The dream is to be a fully sustainable brand. So what we did was we decided, like, have you ever seen the film 8 Mile with Eminem?
I'm out of touch.
Well, no, so it's quite an old film now, and it probably isn't as great as I remember it. But basically,
I'm writing it down.
There's a scene in it where there's it's all about rap battles, and in the final rap battle, he, instead of like having a go at the other person, he sort of outlines everything that the guy could actually criticize him for. So he's like, yes, I live in a trailer park, still live with my mom, blah, 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 blah. By the time he finishes the rap, he does a mic drop because there's nothing for the other guy to say. So yeah. I was like, so we decided to 8 Mile ourselves, in the sense we open the doors, we're a fully transparent brand. Anyone wants to know anything on Yogi Bear, they can find it out. Yeah. So they can now see in the diary all like the material breakdowns. They can see all of the mistakes that I've made in trying to learn, trying to be better, all the things that I've invested in that didn't go quite right. And they can see my little game plan to try and get, so being open about where we are now and where I'd like to go. And I think that that's needs to happen in sustainability. And I hope as well that people go on it, if they're trying to start a yoga mat brand, that they use the diary as a platform to maybe find out stuff for themselves, because then we create true sustainability. Yeah. I'm not precious. Like, I'm not like, oh, these are my ideas, like no one else can have them. I think the only way to make true change is like just to recognize there will always be other brands, so we might as well all team up and start doing the right thing together, rather than just seeing everything and everyone as a competitor. Like, well, what if we all made the change? And you know what, that would work better for business, because if we all committed to making the change and investing in X material, then it lowers the prices across the board because they're producing more of that material. It's not just a small business investing in a small amount of an invention.
I guess that's what B Corp and everything is about. It's trying to scale the businesses.
The culture, right?
Like, yeah, and I think when you scale, it's harder. There's no doubt about it. I mean, like BrewDog, for example, have done some great work, but they were recently pulled up on something with the staff. But in fairness, the guy said, hands up, we got it wrong and apologised. But, you know, so I think when you get bigger, it's harder. You know, so
that's the thing. It's like probably with BrewDog, like, because I remember when they started years ago, and it's really rad. Like, even when I recently was in Mexico to see BrewDog, like in Mexico, it was like, this is wild. I remember, like, it doesn't even feel that long ago in East London when they were throwing like little like launch parties.
Yeah.
Although it's well over 10 years ago, so there we are.
They've done a lot though in that time. I mean, they've done a lot, but
they probably still feel that same heart and soul connection. And I don't think that ever leaves as a founder. You still feel like just you're a small little fish trying your absolute best. And I think it's because as a founder, everything is always just so full on and go that you don't ever take that little step back and take that little moment to be like, that was good. I did good today. You don't ever take the time to do that. And that's probably when, you know, I don't know anything about what they've been, you know, what they've said or what's happened recently, but it probably is that, you know, overstretched.
I think so. And I mean, it's, you know, it's humans, but he did kind of come clean about it all and everything. But just going back to, I mean, there's so much you talk about that. Like I said, again, I'm thinking of all these different questions while you're talking. But one of the ones I wanted to ask is a kind of where it started. So, you know, was it a yoga class when you couldn't, you felt like you were sitting on someone else's sweat? Was it from the shops when you were touching things? Is it sustainability drove you? A combination of all, you know, what was the physical starting point for your business?
So, or like my favorite lyric is Come As You Are. So that's like the lyric that sort of defines the Nirvana lyric that defines what the ethos of Yogi Bear is. My story isn't like a super sexy story. It's I actually discovered yoga in rehab. I went to rehab quite young at 17. I had severe PTSD and anxiety, and I chose some pretty awful ways to deal with it as a coping mechanism. And it was at a time where mental health wasn't really that spoken about. And if it was just not in a helpful way. It was on, like, you know, you'd have skins and they would like have all the typical mental health being this really dark thing, and it's like, it's not, it's something that we all have, just like we all have physical health. And I didn't know why I felt the way that I did. I didn't know what PTSD was. I didn't know why I always felt a bit on edge like a hummingbird, and now I know that's anxiety. So yeah, I found it in there, and it was the first time that like the white noise sort of shut off for me. And then weirdly, I ended up reading a book by a phenomenal man called Tommy Rosen. It's called Recovery 2.0, and he's a deadhead. He was one of the yogis and yoga teachers that traveled and toured with the Grateful Dead. So obviously that's like, you see what I mean about imprints? They all lead together eventually. So I mean, I sat with it for a while, and it was this incredible thing, but it was just something I did at home in my bedroom. And then I remember saving up to go to a swanky yoga workshop one weekend. And I went there and I arrived. And it was like sort of like my first experience in sort of like a room full of yogis. I've never felt more out of place in my whole entire life. Like, I didn't belong. It felt like I didn't know where to sit. It felt like that scene in Mean Girls. It's like walking in with my tray. Like, do I go here? And it's not that they were bad people. I just think if you approach this world as an outsider and you know, you put a lot of hope into it, and some of it can seem a bit scary and a bit alien and a bit confronting, or a little bit like, wow, I really don't belong here. And so I slipped away and I snuck out, and I actually put yoga in a box, and I was like, well, never doing that again. Because I just didn't think, oh, well, I put a lot of heart and hope into something that I didn't belong to. Yeah. And then I actually ended up getting really anxious and relapsing. And then I found yoga again, and I was like, no, there's something in this. But what about every person that walks out of a yoga class, or, you know, the amount of yoga classes that I've bought a spot for and hung out in the locker room and actually end up never making it into the room because I was too anxious? And I thought, there's so many people that feel that way too, that book stuff and never show up, not because they're rude or there was traffic or they couldn't find a parking spot, because of their own mind preventing them. Yeah. And I was like, I never want anyone to ever feel that way, because it's changed my life for the better. So I trained as a yoga teacher, and some of the happiest years of my life was just teaching in Cardiff, and we didn't have many yoga studios there, and it was just creative and fun, and it was phenomenal, and I made some incredible friendships during that time. And then I guess, like, I sort of saw how Yogaland could be, but also I remember one of my students saying to me, I love yoga, but, you know, I can't really, like, afford it. And I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, oh, I don't really, like, belong with, like, the brands. And then I started to think more and more about the brands that we use in yoga. And, like, it didn't make sense to me that we talk all about the environment and connection to nature, yet we sit on these toxic plastic mats. Mm-hmm. Or the brands that are operating in the yoga space at the time. There's so many now, but at the time there wasn't many, and that they felt quite elitist, I guess. Yeah. And that you had to be a certain type of person to own a certain type of product or fit in. And I was like, there's got to be another way. I don't particularly like, you know, these colors aren't very me and these designs aren't very me. So it kind of, like, started very small, and the name was a joke. It made me laugh.
Yeah, good name.
And it's back to nature, but it's also a bit playful and a bit naughty. Yeah. So it started, yeah, just very, very tiny. And then I guess the thing is that it seems like it's been a quick journey, but it was actually, you know, a slow step by step. It's been very gradual in my eyes and my mind.
I mean, you know, to start a business is not something that's easy to do. I mean, you're not old, are you? I mean, how old were you when you started?
I'm 31 now, and yeah. I started 6 years ago. I know, baby face.
Very young. But, I mean, 31 is, for me, is young. But it's still, I mean, 6 years ago. So you were still, I mean, it's relatively young, 25, to start a business.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Gymshark. Is it Gymshark? The guy who...
Oh, well, what an honour.
He started by posting things out. When you have a passion like that, I think it's it does make a massive difference, and you've got a belief, and you've got a different way of looking at the world, potentially, to... You know, that you could see what was missing, and it's not an obvious thing. It wasn't that the mat, you know, if you just said,
it wasn't about products. Yeah, that's the thing. It wasn't about, I think sometimes people, when they want to start a business, they sit for ages and they drive themselves wild about, like, just trying to think of a product. It's a passion. Like, even people that are like, have a product, it stems from a wider story. It stems from, like Ben from Gymshark. It's because he couldn't find what he was looking for.
Yeah, so
he literally made it himself. He cut up t-shirts and made, like, the string of vests himself and his parents' garage. But again, I mean, I've never met him. He would be someone I'd love to.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You know, have a coffee with. Yeah. But it's like, again, it's been like, he bridge jobbed it. You know, it wasn't like I was like, start business and then the next day quit everything. You bridge job, you have a dream, but you don't take a penny from it for a long time. So, you know, I was still working in my old job. I used to work in film as a script writer, and then I was teaching in the evenings and the mornings, yoga, and on the weekends. And then any gap between, I was working on Yogi Bear, and then eventually left the film and then was teaching full-time, and again, any gap. But I was very lucky to have a lot of really supportive people in my life at the time who were rooting for me. And, you know, even when I was really tired, like, you know, come back, and just even someone bringing you a cup of tea or a cup of coffee means the world at those times. And, you know, picking you up from your yoga class at 10 p.m. when you've cleaned the studio and dropping you off at 6 a.m. in the morning the next day. Just having good people in your life that are willing to support you while you are sacrificing a lot. But it's the passion. If you've not got the passion and it is literally just, I want to start a business because it sounds nice, it wouldn't get you through those stressful points or the days that you're really, really exhausted, because there's a new energy. It's like, you know, when you're really tired and you get your second wind all of a sudden at 9 p.m. at night, it's kind of like you're constantly flying on second wind energy because you're really tired, but you're so excited and in love with what you're doing. It just carries you through and
sorry to interrupt, but constantly flying on second wind energy, I like that, because you know, and I think you as an entrepreneur, you need to be someone who likes to, you know, constantly fly on second wind energy and be driven by adrenaline and everything else.
And coffee. I didn't drink coffee before I started joking about that. And it was like, and now I'm just like, oh no. Like,
what, no green tea?
Sure. Oh no, well, I probably need to switch on to that, especially now I'm in LA. Hey.
Like, right. So this is you know, you've a script writer, teacher, you've had your low times, but clearly you've found a happiness. So what is happiness for you? It sounds like what you're
doing. It's very funny because it's you actually asked me this question before we like hopped on today.
Yes.
You sent me this question to think about, and I've been turning it around my head nonstop. Absolutely nonstop since you put it out there, because I think it's a rare question. Most people ask, what do you do? Where are you from? Like, blah, blah, blah. And to ask someone, are you happy? And what is happiness to you is probably one of the most beautiful questions in the world.
I think you thought about it.
It's funny because I think what my answer will be now is different to what it would have been before. I think as human beings, we're constantly seeking for something outside. We're constantly thinking that we're like part of a quick fix culture, right? And I'm a dreamer as well. So combine that, it's a lethal combination. I'm always thinking, you know, daydream and be like, oh, when I get to California, it's going to be like this. It's going to be dreamy and it's going to be, you know, I'm always like future projecting. And California hasn't just been a long-term dream because of all of the references I said at the beginning. My dad actually went to California when he was young at 17 just to have a look, and he stayed for 10 years. And with me in my bag, I have all of his old film photographs that I grew up sneaking into his room and flicking through, like, constantly. Amazing. All the stories. And I always imagined that when I got to California, everything would fall into place for me, and I have a pickup truck and a golden retriever and life like, you know, heavenly. But wherever you go, that's where you'll be. And I've got to California, and, you know, it's a bit lonely trying to figure it out yourself, and I still bring my anxiety and my workload with me, and I'm not a different person. I'm still Kat. And what I've come to find is that happiness is nothing big. Like, yeah, we've done loads of cool stuff with Yogi Bear, but behind the scenes, on the same day as something cool was announced, the reality was that, you know, you get a cease and desist letter and having to rebrand that we had to do last year, or sales are really slow and you know you've got a lot of things to juggle, or something's gone really, really wrong. The website, I mean, actually, no, we won an award the other week and the website went down. But I was getting all these really sweet congratulations messages, and the reality was I was standing in the humidity of a flea market in Mexico, like, with no signal, trying to fix the website. Reality. But I think for me, happiness is so simple, and it is literally just the tiniest little moments. And it is in nature, and it's just being present. We can't be present constantly, but it's when you're present just for the briefest fleeting moment, that's when you, like, are connected to the poetry of life. And I'm really into the concept of flow. And that I believe that when you slow everything down and you get really, really simple and you find your joy and happiness in the first sip of coffee, or just noticing the warmth of the sun on your skin just for the briefest moment, then it makes everything so much sweeter and the rest of the day just flows a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So I'm not looking for big things. I'm looking for something very simple and small. And it's taken me a long time to get to that because of my background. I think I've, and this is a very natural thing for people to think. I don't know if everyone's always that open about it, but because of my background and because, you know, when you struggle with addiction and you've hurt people unintentionally along the way, like my family, loved ones and friends, because they worry about you. And I think I've always felt, because of that reason, when I caught the kite tail of Yogi Bear and I started creating this dream and this vision, and the most proudest thing I've ever done is being able to give some of my friends jobs. But because of that, I've always felt, oh, I've got to prove myself, like to outrun my past, when actually that past is my stitches on my tapestry and it got me to where I am now. And I'm actually, you know, I'm proud of it in a way, in a weird way. But yeah, I think I was always trying to outrun it and think, what, you know, I've got to do something big and sort of make amends. And if I create a brand or like create this or do that, then it will be my way of saying sorry to my mum and dad, when actually all they wanted was something very simple, which was for me to be happy. And yeah,
it sounds like you've worked that out. I mean, as you said, it's taken you a long time, but you're relatively early to have worked out that being happy is just to be in the moment and to, you know, the sun on your face, the sip of
the moment, though. And I think as well, like, that's the other thing, is not putting pressure on yourself to be constantly in the moment, because if we were, you'd be flatlining. Like, that's why the concept of flow is really interesting, because flow is just like, it's just the taste that you get on the tip of your tongue, and then you strive to, you know, to keep finding those moments of flow or finding those moments of presence, because you know how good they feel. But if you were in flow all the time, or if you were even in a state of happiness permanently, then you wouldn't appreciate what happiness was, because it would just be flat. You almost, it's like in a perfume, they always put a really sour note because then it elevates and heightens the beautiful notes.
Or
they always laugh in a band, don't they, about a bassist, but if you take away the bass, then you've got a flat song. But like, oh, a bassist, they've only got four strings, like,
you know, funny enough, perfume, they use those terms, don't they, bass notes and that. When I used to
of course that, I didn't even think about that link,
but what you're saying as well, thinking about that permanence, like that state of bliss and being in the moment, I mean, that's not dissimilar to being high on drugs. Do you know what I mean? You can't, and that can't be sustained either. And I'm guessing from what you said, that was your addiction, was to,
I mean, it's anything looking to plug a gap. Like, I think when you find, like with addiction, it's because we're just looking to plug this hole. We all have a hole. Like, when you talk about it, everyone has a moment of a hole, whether that's anxiety or whether that's feeling really low, or whether that's, you know, pressure to be perfect or to be successful or to be whatever, you've self-imposed that pressure. We're all looking to plug this gap. And then when you realize that there is no gap to plug, like that's the thing. We think that there is a program, there is a gap to plug, there is a, you know, a way to be, and there's not. It's just all part of the human being experience. It's interesting though, like, I met a phenomenal yoga teacher recently, and she dedicates a lot of her time to teaching in rehab centers with young men going through severe drug addiction. And in like the end of a yoga class, you lie down in Savasana or corpse pose, and you just sort of, like, the whole point of that is to let the class like sizzle and sink in, and you feel that electricity and that fusion of like soul, mind, body coming back together as you're lying in that. And she said one of the boys at the end of the class, he was very new, and he said, that was greater than any high that I've ever felt. He said, that's what I've been looking for the whole time. And it's because it's probably one of the only times in your life that you're actually like with yourself, fully, fully connected with your body, with what you're feeling, your mind and your body and your soul, your essence, like, not even in a spiritual way, soul. Your soul is your purpose, your passion, and you're just there with it all. A quiet little moment. And I mean, that's the magic. I think most yoga teachers would say that's why we do what we do. But a lot of people that don't stick around to stay in that pose, or they get edgy and just like ping straight out the room. And it's like, that's why a lot of teachers say, like, oh, it's the most important pose in a class. And it's not, that's not in like a yoga way, it's in a, it actually is, because it's when,
I guess the guys, I mean, like, you said you wanted to highlight male mental health and conversations around that, and I guess that that's part of it from the hearing about that story. But is there any other thing about men?
I think it's interesting. Like, I don't know if this comes from, again, all the imprints of my life, but studying film and being a scriptwriter, you learn about sort of how to write characters. Mm. And when you write a male character, they're always cast as either the hero or the villain. There's no in between. So you either have to be a hero, the savior, the breadwinner, the father role, you know, the person, the strong man that holds it all together, or you're the villain, you know, you're the evil, the disruptor, you're the unkind person, you're everything negative about the human experience. But what about the in-between? And so the in-between is where a lot of things fall through, and it's where, like, oh, you're too feminine, you're too camp, you're too this, you're too that. And I think that as a woman, you have a whole spectrum. You're allowed to be a million different roles. And even in, like, throughout time, you know, the men are the hunter, the provider, whereas the woman, you know, it takes a village to raise a family. You are all these different roles and nurturing roles. So we are more used to talking than men, because we've grown up in more of, like, that sort of sense of community, if you look, track it back. Yeah. And it always upset me having... a lot of my closest friends are guys, and you kind of always have to ask, like, hey, how are you? You get one answer, no, but how are you really? You have to ask, like, two or three times to get the real story. And I also noticed in yoga land, even though, like, yoga was traditionally, like, a male practice, and it was sort of designed by men, it was used in the Indian army for discipline. Yeah. It was mainly used so you could sit longer in meditation, but that was used from a, you know, if you meditated, it was like for sort of knowledge and intelligence and sort of those things. But, like, mental health, we now live in a very different world to when yoga was created. We have these, like, second brains that we hold in our hands with, like, technology, and it's a very different world. And we've got new challenges, new mental health challenges. But even a lot of product wasn't designed for men. So we designed a yoga mat for men. It's taller, it's broader, it's wider. It's based on a skate or a surfboard design, so it's more stripped back, minimalist. It's got holes in it for sweat flow. It's thicker for, you know, the impact on men's joints and the types of practices they like to do. And then I was like, well, if I'm designing for men, how do I actually, like, communicate with them better? And it's more just starting a conversation. And sadly, I'm not allowed to say the project that's upcoming, because it's coming in a few months, but it's the biggest thing that we've ever done with Yogi Bear. You'll be the first to know, I promise you. I'll tell you guys about it first. But it's a huge project around male mental health in sports, with one of my greatest heroes. Again, that's all I'm allowed to say at the minute. And I'm hoping that it will be the way in to start the conversation, because it's a very sort of male community touch point, and it's an absolute dream. And if we can even start the smallest conversation, like, just normalize a tiny aspect of this, then it will be the proudest moment of my life, basically.
Like I said, so much more than just the mat. It's men's health is huge, I think, at the moment, because it has been slightly neglected. Men's mental health probably has, like, well, all our mental health has been challenged from the pandemic and everything else. But I think it's time for guys to have a bit of a break in that respect
as well. Like, you don't have to hold it all together or have it all together or put up this front all the time. My brother, he's my best friend in the world, and he puts so much pressure on himself, and there is still very much a stigma to talk about, you know, to open up. And I think that when you're locked in your own head box, it's not a good place to be. And sometimes the relief in just talking a little bit about how you're feeling and having someone else say, yeah, me too, is just like, oh, okay, so you feel like that as well, like, it's normal to feel like that. But I also think sometimes there can be a lot of, in yoga land and the mental health space, a lot of navel gazing, so it's like very quick to, like, sort of sadly, like, talk a lot about problems and issues. But then where do you go from there with that information? And it's like, you want to support the next step, which is like, okay, cool. So we know we're struggling. What can we do about it? Like, where do we go from here? What are some little strategies? What are some little things that we can implement? And as someone who does struggle with anxiety, it's almost like a naughty little munchkin inside me, and sometimes the last thing I want to do is get on my yoga mat. And like, when you are struggling a little bit, you actually like push the world away and you push the strategies away, so it's then you get even smaller and you're just like, well, is the strategy that like getting a cold shower or splash cold water on your face just to feel a sensation that puts you in the present moment? And it can literally be that small. It doesn't have to be.
You're a writer as well, aren't you? Do you write some of this kind of stuff?
So I guess like with the writing, that's my meditation. That's where I find flow, probably more so, or actually, yeah, I'd say more so than yoga. I hope I weave that through into the brand, because with writing, just like with yoga, is and I learned this again through the script writing, is it's our way of connection. Like sometimes when you write something and it resonates, it's because like a perfect stranger has like encapsulated how you felt once upon a time. And it's really magical to be able to connect with strangers through words. But yeah, no, I write all the time. The dream is to bring out a book. I feel like there's been a few things that recently that have happened in my life, a few little wild stories, and I feel like the book has wrote itself. Yeah. I just need to catch up and write it. But yeah, the dream is to bring out a book that isn't really necessarily a full story. It's more, yeah, just these little observations of life that hopefully people can connect to.
Well, I mean, listening to you speak, there's loads of things you say that you sound like a writer, you know. Yeah, your use of language is very, very really sophisticated.
I can make my mum really proud.
No, I love what you said, that flat line. But you know, and it is a case of just writing some of that down. You obviously do write already, but and you're clearly so much more than just a producer of products. You are, you know, you're a kind of a
minister. Well, Fiona, thank you so much.
Yeah, but it's brilliant, and you are really articulate. So I can hear the book being written and said, you know, I'm sure.
A few years ago, I never shared my writing with anyone.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of people, and I think this is what a lot of people, and I hope Yogi Berra like brings it out of them with the whole come as you are message. Yeah. I was too shy to share the thing that I love the most in the world, because I was afraid of what people might think, that they might think it's a bit weird, or that they might think like it's a bit, I don't know, that it's just a bit weird, I guess. And I think there's so many things that we, and parts of our personality that we hold back, or we suppress, or we dumb down because we're worried about people thinking it's a bit weird that you like X, Y, Z.
It's hard. When you write, you expose a lot of yourself. When you're doing yoga, you open yourself up. And I think you've gone out of your comfort zone with going into that class and keeping going back. You've done it with getting your writing out there. And I think it isn't something you can rush necessarily, but you've done it and you're continuing to do it. So, I mean, there's so much I'd love to have asked you about what your stories were, and you said you're a naughty rebel and wellness. There's loads of stuff we could talk about, but I'd be really interested to know. I kind of got an impression about your mission, about the community and impact and mental health. But what's next for you and the brand? I mean, you're in America. You told me before we started recording that you're there for 90 days. So can you just tell me a little bit about that? Because I think that's amazing.
So I think anything that we've ever done in the UK that I'm really proud of has come through authentic friendships. I'm not a natural business person. I mean, I'm very lucky that I have a phenomenal team that really help with sort of like the things that I'm not good at. And I think that's the whole point of building a team. You find the people that plug your gaps. You don't want a million yous, because otherwise the other side falls apart. But yeah, everything has come through authentic relationships and friendships. And if you support people, and with no intention, but I just love supporting great people doing great things. Mm-hmm. And then that's always randomly led to, because there's loads of yoga mats brands out there. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, why people choose Yogi Berra? I don't know. I like to think it's because they feel like they find a sense of belonging, or there's a friendship there, and you know, I want to support them just as much as they want to support me and go the whole nine yards with them. Look, I'm already talking like an American. Yeah. But yeah, we did try to grow Yogi Berra like virtually in the USA. And it just got to the point where I was like, I just need to go there and make friends. Yeah. And if you go into anything with an open mind, an open heart, you are genuinely interested in what people are doing, you want to support, you want to listen to other people's stories, then weird stuff starts to happen. Like, I was only here a few days, and then I randomly get an invite to go to New York for a few days to go and listen to, actually somebody from Gymshark was on the panel, but just listen to some key American speakers and brand owners, and then just talking to them afterwards, just like how I'm talking to you about mental health, and just all these great conversations. And it was just really life affirming. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, we were on a rooftop in the middle of New York City, and you'd think, wow, 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 wow. And all anyone wanted to see was the sunset. And that just summed it all up, isn't it? It's like, it's always the simple things. It's not
You're with our people though, which is nice.
Yeah, but it's not the swanky part of like, oh, fancy like menu or a fancy cocktail or anything. It's all anything was that people were magnetized to was the sunset. And I was like, these are my kind of people. But yeah, we're here. I just want to really like help people understand the come as you are kind of vibe and mission and in person and see what's going on. I mean, there's some incredible brands here. It's more like about a learning and investigation, meeting teachers, making friends, and like I'm learning a lot as well. Like there's so many different ways that people are moving out here, different approaches to wellness. Yeah. I never like to assume anything. And I think when you try and do something online, you're making assumptions and judgments of how you think the wellness industry or the yoga industry looks out here. Yeah. And it's completely different.
It's so true. I mean, anyone who's worked online over the last year, even just on that sort of micro scale, I think people will know what they've missed when they go back to seeing people again in the face to face. And I think, I mean, that's something to add, really, wherever people listen to this, is that you've gone out, struck out to America, like Christopher Columbus or something.
That's what it feels like. But also, I think as well, just people, it sounds sexy, doesn't it? Like,
it does, because it is sexy. It's, you know, we just had the pandemic. A lot of people are still scared to travel. It is sexy, and it is good that you're doing it.
And that's the thing, appreciating and being and having the gratitude, but also sometimes you just like would love, I don't know. So because I do think and a lot of brand owners will relate to this, you do sacrifice a lot. Yeah. And I think sometimes just remembering what really makes you happy. Yeah. And every now and then, like as glamorous as like, yeah, jetting off to America and going to LA and New York sounds, like I think we do have this perception like what we can compare our lives to other people's. And sometimes my happiest moments are with friends watching a movie on the sofa, eating popcorn and like petting their dogs. And sometimes I think I'd love a sofa. I would love a sofa. I'd love to be grounded enough, like to have a sofa and a dog. And one day I will get there. And I think it is a reevaluation of, as long as I'm happy, I'll keep going. And then the minute that it does change, and I think I want to ground and I want to land. And I think it's always just having an awareness of, yeah, not always chasing, because yeah, like this trip could be seen as like a chasing the next big thing, when all we have is literally, yeah, just right now.
Perfect. I think that's a brilliant way to end, actually. I love it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm sure you can find a sofa somewhere if you ask the hotel to bring one up for you.
Oh.
I'm not sure about the dog might be more difficult.
I know, dogs for rent.
But it's brilliant talking to you. I've loved it. It's you're a proper adventurer, a writer, and you know, and in between all that you're running a business, and it's great. And it's you know, I can't wait to see what the men's health story
is. I'm excited. I promise I'll let you guys know first.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, thank you so much. And we'll put all the links onto your Instagram and everything else. And I know there's lots of followers there, and update some of those books you mentioned. I'll try and get in the notes as well.
Yeah, I will. If you need anything. And if anyone ever wants to just reach out to me, like, you know, I run sort of Yogi Bear's social media and my own. So I'm only ever a message away, and we see everything. So we're only a tiny team. So if anyone has any questions or any like recommendations on reading or anything at all, just you can welcome to reach out.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.